Hi, everyone. Welcome. Gym class coming your way here on KGYM for a Wednesday. Good show planned for you. We'll discuss Iowa-Oklahoma State from last week and look ahead to Iowa and Penn State coming up with Hall of Famer Mark Ironside. That'll be here in just a little bit. Basketball coming your way tonight on KGYM. Iowa State women will be at number 2 Baylor tonight. 7 o'clock, we'll join up on 1600 AM with The Call with Rich Fellingham. And a 7:05 tip-off, as it will be a tall task for the Cyclones coming up tonight. Also, it'll be UNI taking on Loyola at McLeod Center in Cedar Falls, and that will be coming up. We'll join up at 7 o'clock on 107.5 and 106.3 FM coming up tonight, and that one will be tipping off at about 7:05 this evening. UNI coming off the win over Drake on Sunday. Big win in that particular series. See if they can make it 2 in a row against what has been arguably the surprise team in the Missouri Valley Conference so far, the Ramblers of Loyola, with 13 wins on the year and right now even up 3-3 in the Missouri Valley Conference. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Very much looking forward to the 5 o'clock hour when the newest class of the Baseball Hall of Fame is announced. A lot of debate, as usual, over the voting and various players. Afternoon Players Club with Todd Bromekamp and Tyler Ryder will bring you those results. But I don't know. I think it's the Hall of Fame with the most debate, isn't it?
Oh, no doubt about it. No doubt about it. NFL lets in a lot of people. And I think the NFL is kind of, I don't want to say gotten soft as far as some of the people they have let in as of late. How do you judge offensive linemen? It's tough. Number of Pro Bowl appearances, yes, I get that. But I think it's a little bit harder to differentiate between a good player and a great player as far as a lineman is concerned. So I think they're a little bit more generous as far as the National Football League is concerned.
It's Pro Bowls and rings, isn't it?
I think so. Rings mean a whole lot in the National Football League. And I was listening to one of the national shows earlier on today, and they were talking about the fact that, you know, the and the name escapes me right now, Russell Wilson is so much better a quarterback because he won a ring than, say, a Dan Marino, who did not win a ring, and I almost ran off the road. Amazing how people under the age of 30 don't know how good Dan Marino was as a quarterback. In fact, that throw Aaron Rodgers made last Sunday to get the Packers in field goal range there at the end to win it, there were only about two other quarterbacks, I think, in the NFL in history that could have thrown that ball, and one of them was Dan Marino.
He was an all-timer.
Absolutely. Maybe John Elway could have been the other guy to throw that. I don't know who else could have. I mean, that was one whale of a throw and an even better catch that was made on the sideline there of the throw to put the Packers in position to win that football game. Antonio Brown is going to come out later this afternoon and have a news conference. Don't know why you have to have a news conference. I think it's all been taken care of by Mike Tomlin. As he said, it's been taken care of internally. The whole Facebook Live post that he had from the locker room, which he broke about 75 NFL rules and about 750,000 team rules. But
it's pretty obvious to me. This is all on Antonio Brown, and I've listened to Brown speak. I think he's an intelligent guy, but he did a stupid thing. What Tomlin said in the locker room doesn't offend me, despite the expletives. You ever been in the locker room? You ever been an athlete? I mean, those things get said, especially the higher
up. A lot worse said, too.
The higher up the level. But for Brown to shoot that and send it out over social media was just the wrong thing to do. It's the old thing. What goes on in the locker room stays in the locker room. So, I mean, that's all on him.
And Belichick took the high road as well when he was on radio in Boston saying, you know, I don't care what goes on. And boy, could you just close your eyes and just imagine Kirk Ferentz? I don't get on the snap face. And all
the snap face, yeah.
All you need to do is a drop. That's football, and boy, oh boy, we'd have had something right there. And that would have riled everybody's feathers around eastern Iowa here. 9 minutes past the hour of 3 o'clock here on the Wednesday edition of the program. We'll talk with Mark Ironside coming up in a bit. He will not be able to join us in studio today. He is going to be in Iowa City. He has been asked to join the Hawkeyes in the wrestling room. That's not usually good for some one or two individuals down there.
Tom Brand summoned him?
He was summoned. He was summoned. So apparently, in the lexicon of the order here, Brands is above Scott and Mark. As well he should be when it comes to Mark. I mean, Mark's going to talk to us, and he'll be frank on what happened on Sunday and what he thinks is going to come up on Friday night at Carver Hawkeye. He's, just because he's down outside the wrestling room, he's not going to sugarcoat things. And Tom Brands and Terry Brands wouldn't sugarcoat things as well if we were talking to them today. That would be the case.
No, it's part of a big stretch against the numbers 1, 2, and 4 teams in the country. Already Oklahoma State is in the rearview mirror. Penn State and Ohio State this week, teams ranked 2 and 4. And we've said before, and we'll say it again, Iowa's going to learn a whole lot about itself in this stretch, but it's still only January, a couple months to go, so a lot of improvement can be made.
Yeah. 319-366-1600. You mentioned the Baseball Hall of Fame, and that's going to be coming up in about an hour and 50 minutes. They will introduce the class of 2017. We talked, had a poll question about that yesterday, and just to give a little bit of thought into it, probably won't be a real big class this year. You do have Bud Selig going in, of course, which has brought up a lot of discussion on if he's getting in, well, maybe Barry Bonds is not too far behind or whoever the case may be. When the dust settles, in your opinion, if you had a vote, who would you vote for? How many do you think are going to get in?
I think Tim Raines for sure. I think he'll be the number one player voted in.
Wear a Montreal uniform, by the way, Tim Raines, when you go in.
From everything I've read and all the speculation out there, I think Bagwell will probably get in.
See, I'm not sure about Bagwell.
Yeah.
He's right on that kind of edge, I think. And, I don't know.
Pudge Rodriguez.
Is McGriff better than Bagwell?
Two different players, I think. But McGriff, think about this. He's the only player in Major League history with more than 475 home runs, and he's got 490-plus, who was not drug into the steroid era and is not in the Hall of Fame. You know, the strike year, he missed, 50 or 60 games? He would have easily surpassed what once was that magic mark of 500 home runs. I think McGriff should be in.
Yeah, I think so. I lean toward yes.
But he won't be.
He won't be. No, I don't think so. I lean toward yes on that. But, eh.
I really think some of the steroid era guys, and I'm a firm believer you need to draw a line in the sand when testing began and when it didn't.
True.
Because that affects some players, whether they used either side of that. You know, there's a lot of purists out there who say, well, they cheated anyway. But to me, well, let me finish that point. I think the fact that Bud Selig is going in, having presided over the steroid era, and maybe not acted soon enough on what was going on, I think that, and the fact that there's newer baseball writers out there who are maybe not looking past all the steroid issues, but taking these players for who they were and their accomplishments, I think you got a little bit different dynamic there, and I think some of the so-called steroid-era players may ride the coattails of Selig getting in. What is it, the Veterans Committee or some committee that is taking him in? That I think Bonds and Clemens are both going to have a bump in votes this year. I really do.
I think they will. And will they be the first ones to get in, I guess, is going to be the question.
I've always been of the opinion, name a player, and I would respond, Hall of Famer, yes, no, or maybe not yet.
Right. I tend to do Griffey, that as well.
Of course. Sosa? No. You know, I go through that exercise in terms of trying, in my mind, who I think I would pick as a Hall of Famer. I don't need all the statistics. I don't know the exact number of home runs or doubles somebody has. I want to know if that player was a dominant player in his era.
Correct. Was he one of the guys that you looked at as a guy that you didn't want to beat?
Curt Schilling
beat
is one of the last guys you wanted to face in a pressure situation, was he not? Bloody sock or not?
He could get it done. He definitely could get it done out there. What do you think? 319-366-1600. How about Trevor Hoffman?
600 saves, yes.
I think he's in. I think Trevor Hoffman, and what a great guy.
Was he better reliever than Lee Smith, though?
Ooh.
I think Lee Smith is a third on the all-time list. I'm pretty sure about that.
Lee Arthur probably should be in as well. And there's always been the bias against the short reliever as far as the Hall of Fame is concerned. I think they should both be in right now, especially Trevor Hoffman.
The relievers are maligned much like the designated hitters.
Exactly. Who's going to be the first DH to get in? Edgar Martinez is up to get in the Hall of Fame. Edgar Martinez is not. I think it's Trevor Hoffman, Tim Raines. I think that's who gets in if I had my say on it, if I had to guess. But I will probably be completely inaccurate as far as that is concerned. What do you think? 319-366-1600, the Jerry Ask Investment Services text line. Again, that's 319-366-1600. As you got computer issues today?
You know, it's slow in booting up, but I'm on a roll now, so I should be good in a couple minutes.
Okay. While you're doing that, Mark, we have some recruiting news today. Nothing to do with Oliver Martin, by the way. And APC is going to be talking about Oliver Martin and his decision coming up in a little bit. Iowa and Iowa State recruiting news. For Iowa, Keegan Glaus is going to be a preferred walk-on, announced today by Keegan. He is a linebacker out of Bettendorf, also a running back as well. 64 tackles, also ran for 1,138 yards. The initial plan is for him to play fullback or linebacker at Iowa, much like a Drake Kulik of Muscatine or Brady Ross out of Humboldt. There was talk about that as well for Jacobus, but I think he's going to be on the defensive line the way it sounds.
Ross was put on scholarship in the spring.
Yes. Yeah, very much so. And so Keegan Glaus is going to be walking on, preferred walk on for the Iowa Hawkeyes. And that's the good news, I guess, for Iowa. The not-so-good news comes from Ames, as Iowa State's top recruit as far as the Stars game is concerned, Cam White, has said today in his Twitter account, as most do, after a long deliberation, I have decided to reconsider things. I have decommitted from Iowa State and will make my decision on signing day. So that's a big loss for Matt Campbell's class. He was kind of the gem of that group. So still a good class for Matt Campbell, but not quite as good now. And Cam White had a lot of people, a lot of the SEC schools came calling late. And I think that probably swayed his decision a little bit. You become the belle of the ball. And Alex has just let us know also, coming out of Iowa City, that Derek Mitchell has announced he is going to be a graduate transfer, so he will not be in the mix next year for the Iowa Hawkeyes. Thank you, Alex. Appreciate that. Some breaking news there.
And Mitchell kind of disappeared for the most part this year as a third down back. Had contributed the year prior and some this year.
And he'll be eligible right away.
Yeah.
As a graduate transfer for a senior. So there you go, a little bit of recruiting news. And if you're wondering, we are planning on having another recruiting show on the first Saturday of February. Myself and Rob Howe and Todd Brommelkamp will have that for you here on KGYM. Had a lot of good response with that last year, and hopefully have some good response with that this year. A
couple three texts on the Jerry Ask Investment Services text line. You can go to jkainvest.com, 319-366-1600. 6739 pointing out that Dave Winfield stated a few years ago that anyone taking steroids or PEDs would never get his vote. 7077 predicts Pudge will make it.
Hmm.
And Kenneth wonders, what do you think of managers whose success came in large part from PED players, a.k.a. Tony La Russa? You say the same about Joe Torre, can you not?
Suppose with McGuire. Oh, hopefully none of the 83 White Sox were on steroids. They were too goofy to be on steroids. I will say this. Lamar Hoyt may have been on everything else other than steroids.
87 and 91 Twins. Herbeck was on a lot of hams. But
oh, my gosh. Yeah, yeah. That's true. That is true. All right. 20 minutes past the hour of three. We might wrap around and revisit the Baseball Hall of Fame, so we'll see how that plays out. All right. We're going to take a break. Come back. Mark Ironside will join us, though, and we will talk with the Hall of Famer about Iowa, Oklahoma State, and a whole lot more. All that coming up on the Gym Class Wednesday edition, coming your way on KGYM. Stay tuned.
Welcome back, Hawkeyes. Iowa Book's goal this week is to make your shopping easy. Iowa Book has added extra staff, extra cash registers, and is open extra hours. Save money by choosing less expensive used or rental textbooks. Iowa Book also has all your necessary school supplies. Iowa Book is open this Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, 8:30 till 9. Downtown Iowa City, across from the old Capitol since 1920.
Iowa Book, a one-of-a-kind bookstore.
The Winter Rethink Kitchen and Bath event is on at the Home Depot. And right now, you can get the Chrome Moen Cleo single-handle bath faucet at a new lower price of just $74. This easy-to-install single-handle faucet is a stylish, contemporary upgrade that anyone can handle. Getting the style you're looking for is easier than ever with a Moen Cleo faucet, now just $74, exclusively at the Home Depot. More saving, more doing. U.S. only, valid through March 9th.
When I grow up, I want to be a piano player because my parents will be proud of me.
When you were a kid, you were free to dream.
I want to be a mermaid.
I like the idea of being a scientist.
I also want to be a tooth fairy.
At American Family Insurance, we believe now is when you should dream more than ever.
See Kurt Gustafson at Kurt Gustafson Agency, your American Star Certified Agency. Excellence in customer experience.
American Family Mutual Insurance Company and its affiliates, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin, 53783.
They go to the ballpark to watch the game. Scott Unash and Mark Dukes, the Gym Class, KGYM.
Welcome back, Gym Class, Wednesday edition, coming your way here on KGYM at 3:22. And we've got tickets to give away a little bit later on for Brian Regan at the Paramount Theater on Sunday, January the 29th. And we'll have those all throughout the week. You've seen him on The Tonight Show. He is terrific. And for more information, go to ParamountTheaterCR.com or KGYMRadio.com as well. And you can read more about him coming up at that time. Also, let you know that we are a week away, Mark, from the Twins Caravan coming to Cedar Rapids for the Hot Stove Fundraiser coming up next Wednesday night, January the 25th, at the Nubo City Market. They'll have a delicious buffet provided by Nubo vendors, silent auction, panel talk with Twins players, including former Colonel Byron Buxton, pitcher Trevor May, and others. Tickets $40 in advance, $45 at the door. All the proceeds go to the Colonel's Foundation and are available at colonels.com. And you can also go to our website as well for more information about that. We're going to talk wrestling right now, and our talk with Mark Ironside is presented and sponsored by Kurt Gustafson Agency of American Family Insurance. Stop on by. He is located on Johnson Avenue Northwest, just across from the Johnson Avenue Hy-Vee. You can't miss it. And we thank Kurt for all his help. And, of course, stop by and tell him everybody at KGYM sent you. Mark is joining us. Are you outside the wrestling room? Are you in the wrestling room? Are you on the campus? Where are you in Iowa City?
I am in my car, actually, just about to. I got to drop off an order for a customer of mine down here and then head over to practice. So I'm just about there.
What does it mean when Tom Brands calls Mark Ironside and says, come to practice? Is that usually bad news for someone?
Well, Tom Brand called last night, and we had a fantastic conversation. And it was, you know, Tom and I, we talk, you know, quite a bit or whatever, but it's not, you know, that often. We're just calling me up at home. But it was just a really good talk. He just wanted to inform me on some stuff with me being, you know, obviously close to the program or whatever, stuff that's going on or whatever. He wanted to just chat, I think, a little bit. I mean, it just, one thing, the thing is, it's a phone call that's supposed to take about 30 seconds and ends up being 30 minutes. So we end up talking about Okie State. We're talking about Penn State, talking about the guys, the lineup, and everything else in between. So it was a very, very good discussion. I like what Tom has to say. I like where his head's at right now, and the fact that he's not like some people out there after we get beat by Oklahoma State. I mean, I don't even know what the final score was, 24-11. Not throwing the towel in. I think that, you know, there's so many good and positive things going on right now. And then a lot of those matches at Oklahoma State could have been, you know, decided differently pretty easily. So, we're not favored to win this meet on Friday night against Penn State, but that doesn't mean you're throwing the towel in either. But, you know, our back's against the wall, and, you know, we got the home crowd advantage, and I think we're a better tournament team right now than we are a dual meet team, if that makes any sense. And I like the fact that, you know, he's concentrating on the positive things and talking about a lot of positive things that are going on and not, you know, kind of jumping ship and panicking by any means.
Mark, let's look at the Oklahoma State meet, and I really dove into it afterwards, and you can Iowa lost three matches by a single point, but I think when two matches, the Clark match and the Sorensen match, basically were decided by 3 seconds when it came down to it, 3 seconds of riding time combined in those two matches. Had those flipped, now you can argue those guys should have wrestled better and not gotten into that position. But it was a lot closer than 24-11.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I'm saying. It was an awful close duel. There were some close matches that could, you know, they won there. Hopefully when Sorensen meets up with Kalika in the semifinals of the national tournament, it's Sorensen's turn to win, and I really believe that he will win. And I guess I would rather have Brand Sorensen win in the semifinals of the Division I Nationals and make it to the finals again versus the dual meet in Stillwater, Oklahoma. Obviously, you want to win them all and you want to win both those, but you know, the thing is, I mean, you hit the nail on the head, Mark. You know, those, you can complain about the refereeing, which was absolutely horrible. I don't understand why we had a referee from Oklahoma when wrestling Oklahoma State. I don't know why we only had one referee there. And it doesn't make any kind of sense either. But at the end of the day, you know, you're right in the fact that we could have done more to prevent, you know, situations where, you know, some missed riding time here or there or, you know, makes a difference in a match, bottom line. Just that's why, you know, it's good to be a wrestler. That's why you love to be a wrestler, is that you can take things into your own hands. And it's just like I was telling, honestly, my own daughter last night at home, and we were having this discussion. That is why that, and no matter what sport that you're in, whether it's volleyball, whether it's softball, whether it's baseball, whether it's football, whether no matter what the sport, that you beat your opponent, you beat the referee, you beat the opposing crowd, you beat the opposing whole entire team, you beat everybody involved. So that all of a sudden, if there's a bad call here, a bad call there, and it's going to happen because people are human, you know, it still is not going to matter. That is why you try to dominate as much as you possibly can, and you never hit cruise control in any type of athletic event. You just don't do it because you just it'll come back, it'll bite you, and it'll prepare you better for the future by just going out and trying to dominate as much as you can all the time.
Mark, that Sorensen match was boring as hell.
I agree. You know, I mean, they're very strategized. Kalika comes out literally right off the first whistle. He's sticking his fingers in our face. I mean, this is one of the matches that, you know, Coach Brands and I discussed last night. And You know, it's we have to make adjustments throughout the match. Their whole strategy was to come out, stiff arm us, poke us in the eyes, keep us away from him, slow us down, take him out of our game. But the problem was, is we never adjusted to that. We weren't 30 seconds into that match say, hey, I know what you're doing now, and this ain't going to work. You know, he never made any kind of adjustments. And that's where a really good wrestler is not going to need to get through that match, then go back to the, you know, with the coaches, back to your facility, watch video, work on something in the room, and try to do better next time. I mean, you're going to have some of that all the time anyway, but a good wrestler is going to say, hey, I know what's going on right here. I know what I'm going to do to fix this, or at least try to fix this, and make adjustments right then and there on the fly. And that's just what Brandon Sorensen didn't do.
Corey Clark, Mark, was coming off that little ding, got back in there, lost 7-6 to Cade Brock. How did you think Clark looked?
I think after Clark gave up the second takedown, which is very controversial whether it was even really a takedown or not, after he gave up that second takedown, there was a dispute between the coaching staff and the referee about whether it was a takedown and the other coaches, and it was so much fun because it's a very heated duel meet, and it was all right going to unfold in literally feet. I mean, like right in front of me. It was kind of cool, you know, to be involved in stuff like that. But during that break, something clicked with Corey Clark, and he came back with a vengeance in the rest of that match, and he wrestled, honestly, as good as I've ever seen him wrestle in his four-year career here so far. And if he can wrestle like that the rest of this season, there is no doubt in my mind he will be the national champion at the end of the day. If he can compete like that and wrestle like that in all positions the rest of the season, for sure, pencil him in as Corey Clark, your 133-pound Division I national champ. It was amazing to watch him go. You can't spot someone as good as Cade Brock, who was ranked third in the country, undefeated, from Stillwater, right there, you know, which I think helped. They missed the riding time three different times. They missed the riding time, so he loses by a riding time, 59 seconds. He lost by a second. I went back and watched the match twice, and I counted a legit 6 seconds that they cheated him out of riding time. Mm. But again, it doesn't matter. He can't be digging himself a 5-0 hole in a situation like that, even though he battled back and he made it a match.
I guess the real positives, Mark, in my mind, Thomas Gilman getting those bonus points out of the shoot, albeit a little bit late. But and then Sammy Brooks with a big win as well. And I would say even Topher Carton taking the number one wrestler to pretty much the very end.
Yeah, you know, I mean, that's kind of like where I'm at right now too, Mark. You know, I mean, there's a lot of positives there. You know, 33 could have easily been flipped. 49 is I don't want to say as bad as we wrestled. As much as we didn't wrestle is probably a better way to put it. You know, could have easily been flipped. 41, Topher Carton wrestling the defending national champion, Dean Heil, ranked number one in the country, and wrestling right down to the wire, 8-5 decision. Had some opportunities to score there. Fought us some great takedowns. I mean, he looks good. Every time out, Topher Carton is getting better and better and better. And this is a huge match for him come Friday night. And then, obviously, if I was going to give the OW to anybody from Okie State, it would be to Sammy Brooks. I mean, Sammy Brooks, I mean, Boyd, that he's wrestling, they're split 1-1 before. Boyd comes out, he's wrestling his tail off. He's excited to be out there. He's got a ton of energy. And Sammy Brooks just didn't let him use it at all whatsoever and racked up one heck of a match with a major decision, put him on his back twice, had him pinned twice, and just could not get the call. But Sammy Brooks, that's as good as he's looked. So hopefully we can carry that into Friday night when he's taking on Bo Nickel, who's ranked number one in the country.
Yeah. Talking with Mark Ironside here on the Gym Class, the Wednesday edition here at KGYM. And you mentioned it, the biggie coming up, Iowa and Penn State. Penn State's coming off a pasting of Rutgers. 37-6 got him pretty good in that one. And, of course, Iowa coming off the loss. And this is going to be, I mean, as far as electric atmosphere is at Carver this year, this is going to be the pinnacle, I think.
Well, I think, I tell you what, Scott, this is going to be a big one. I don't know if it's going to be the pinnacle, maybe so, but depending upon how we do here. I mean, with Ohio State next Friday, and then we got Nebraska coming to town, we've got a great, great, great lineup of dual meets this year at home. But Penn State, obviously, anytime they come to town, Cale Sanderson comes to town. I don't know how many tickets are left. I mean, it's probably less than 1,000 if I had to guess. There's not very many left. You know, it's you know, people know the history, how these dual meets have gone in the past. You know, the place just explodes, and it's going to be electric. And the Iowa Hawkeyes have their backs against the wall here. Like you said, they're coming off of a loss, but I think that, you know, they're motivated. I think that it's a lot like the Okie State dual meet in the fact that a lot of these matches could go either way. A lot of these matches, it's like we're going to need bonus points, they're going to need bonus points. So it's just there's a lot of matches that you don't know exactly what's going to happen or how it's going to go, which adds to the excitement versus coming in and say, well, this guy matches up really well with that guy, so he's going to handle him really easily. This guy's going to win easily, or that guy's going to get killed. There's a lot of matchups here where they could go north or south. I don't know what's going to happen, and that's why you go out and wrestle them.
Yeah, five of the matches are going to match up top five wrestlers from both schools. Mark, I'm looking at only two of the matchups have any history to them. The other eight matchups, neither wrestler has seen each other. So, I mean, Sorensen has lost twice to Rutherford. Clark has beaten Cortez, but by and large, the eight matches that I speak of, you don't know anything about the guy. Well, you might know something about him, but never faced him.
Yeah, I mean, you hit the nail, and that's why it's going to be a lot of unknowns here, because we haven't wrestled. These guys have never wrestled before, and you can't really go on a paper and look at the rankings, because certain styles, you know, styles of one guy and a style of another guy, they meet up differently than if, you know, say, you know, you put three guys in a pool, and all three guys could beat each other, I mean, very easily, and not one guy beating, you know, going undefeated, beating both guys, just because of the way styles match up. And that's what's going to happen here. I mean, there's going to be so many good matches in this dual meet. The 125-pound match, I mean, you got Thomas Gilman, a senior, ranked number one in the country, undefeated, and just a unbelievable, powerful, powerful wrestler. You know, just very bold type of person, obviously. He likes to talk to the press. And then he got a freshman who's very good, undefeated, ranked third in the country. He's like the new guy on the block, new guy in town that is supposed to be the next best thing since sliced bread, the number one recruit in the country like 2 years ago, and going, he's going to find out really quick how good he is. And Gilman is basically going to try and show this guy that you got a long ways to go, you know. So that's going to be a very, very interesting match. I think it's going to be probably a close match with Gilman coming out on top. But a lot of people out east think that Soriano, he's good enough, he's going to beat Gilman. But I don't see it happening. I think Gilman's just too powerful, too strong, too stingy. Unless Gilman makes a bad error on his own part and slips up a little bit and gives something to Soriano, I don't see Gilman getting beat.
Couple questions for you on our text line, Mark. Number one, 1121, would like to know if you're going to be observing practice or will be wrestling.
I will be observing while I'm getting a workout in myself. How's that?
Sounds good. 6739, does Iowa need to wrestle with more urgency?
I think so at some weights, obviously. The first one that comes to mind is the one that always comes to mind. That's 149 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Brandon Sorensen, that's kind of been his downfall since he's been here, you know. But at the same time, you know, with the same discussion I had last night with Coach Brands, you know, he said that this week in the room, he got back yesterday in practice, Sorensen is just, you know, lighting the room up with points right now. And you know, maybe that's what he needed. You know, I mean, we'll see. But you got to remember, too, that he's taken on, you know, the defending national champ, defending Big Ten champ, where Sorensen's been beat by him in both cases and really, really bad. Sorensen could even hold this, get this to, like, say, a regular decision. That would be a huge step forward for Brandon Sorensen. I mean, I don't want to say it's a success, but that's a step forward in the right direction if we could just close the gap and get it down to a regular decision right there. I don't want to, you know, concede the match by any means, because anything can happen. But when you go from losing by however many points it was at Nationals and Big Tens, 12 to 13, 14 points, falls to only maybe losing by 3 or 4 points, you just really constricted the gap right there. And that's what I'm looking for out of Brandon Sorensen. And not going out and just stand still and reacting to everything that Rutherford's thrown at you, but yet actually grabbing a hold of him, snap and move and keeping your hands on him and trying to create your own offense. That's what we need to be looking for out of a guy like Brandon Sorensen.
The other big news, Mark, they made it official. Alex Marinelli is not going to compete this year. They're going to keep the red shirt on him. I don't think anybody was really too surprised about that. But I guess now that it's been done officially, I know you probably agree with that.
Yeah, I think that it's obviously I think it's the right move to do. You know, I always say if there's two reasons you want to pull a guy out of red shirt. One, because the guy is really that good and he could win a national title himself. Or two, he's just that good and it's going to be a big difference in points versus whoever else you put out there for that team at that weight. And it could be the difference to say between first and second in the country versus, you know, third and fifth in the country. If it's going to be the difference between third and fifth, to me, there's no sense in bringing him out. If it's going to be a legit difference of, hey, we need him, we could really, really win this title this year as a team, or maybe the worst finish second or the absolute worst finish third, but we got a legit chance of winning it, then you know what? Bring him out. But right now, with the inconsistency of Meyer at 74, with Clark getting hurt, not really knowing how stable his shoulder completely is, Stoll coming off of a knee surgery, not sure how that's going to hold up, and he tweaked it again on Sunday against Oklahoma State. So there's so many unknowns and some inconsistencies there that you can't gamble. I wouldn't want to gamble on someone's red shirt like that to possibly end up, you know, third to fifth in the country, you know, without knowing for sure how things are going to do, if that makes sense.
Yeah, Mark, you said earlier in the interview that you think this Iowa team right now is a better tournament team than a dual team. Can you expand on that?
Well, what that means is I think that as far as the tournament goes, we got some studs in lineup that could do some serious damage, you know, in a tournament where they could really do well. Obviously, 25, 33, Kemmer, 57, who had a big, big, big win against Joe Smith down at Oklahoma State. That was huge. Meyer, if he could come around and get some consistency, but Brooks, you know, I mean, we could do well as a team, and there's some other guys there too. Topher Carton, he's fighting his way in there, you know, depending upon Stoll's health, you know, he's All-American too. I think as a team, we could do some good things in a tournament, but in a dual meet where we really struggle, like against Oklahoma State at 165, where we're thinking about bringing Marinelli out, I mean, that's we're struggling there at that weight class. And in the dual meet, we're giving up, like, gave up 6 points against Oklahoma State. It's hard to give up 6 points in one match against the number one ranked team in the country and they expect to win the duel. All right? And then obviously Stoll, winning the match at the time, gets his knee tweaked and ends up getting taken down, can't build a base, you know, and he gets beat, you know, about the help there. So, I mean, there's too many situations where we're in our lineups that we're giving up too many points against teams like Oklahoma State, hopefully not against Penn State, but it doesn't show that, you know, in a dual meet, say, against those two teams, that we're as good of a team, whereas we go to nationals and we could do a lot more damage because we're getting so many more points out of our big guns.
Well, what do you think? You were pretty accurate. You said it would come down. You didn't know there was going to be 3 seconds of riding time going around with Oklahoma State. But you kind of got things, for the most part, right on. And that one, what's this going to come down to on Friday night between Iowa and Penn State?
You know, obviously, it's hard to say. You know, where I'm hesitant at is a little bit of Sam Stoll. Is Sam Stoll's health going to play a major role? I don't know if we'll even wrestle. You know, I don't know how bad that knee is. And, you know, if you rest him or whatever, you know, it might come down to heavyweight, and then, you know, Sam Stoll's like he was against Oklahoma State, where his knee's bad and he can't even get up off the bottom. Well, then we're in a lot of trouble there. That really hurts us. But other than that, you know, I mean, we need Topher Carton to win. That's a good toss-up match. We need Alex Meyer to win. There's a good toss-up match. For sure, we need bonus points out of Corey Clark. We need a guy like Brandon Sorensen talking about keep it within a regular decision at 149 pounds. There's, you know, Cash Wilkie at 197. That'd be a good opportunity for us to do some good there. And, I mean, their guy's only ranked 10th, 12th. You know, I mean, we're right there. We can be right there with them. We could pull one out there. So, I mean, it's gonna take a lot, but we're very capable of doing it. But at the same time, I'm saying, hey, we need Carton to win. He could lose. We need Wilkie to win. He could lose. We need Meyer to win. He could lose. You know, we need Sorensen to stay with a regular decision. He could get majored. I mean, it could really go south as well, too. So it's going to be an interesting duel meet. Bottom line is you just want to see a lot of grit, a lot of toughness, a lot of fight, scraps, and guys fighting to the end. And then at the end of the day, at least you can keep your chin up and feel good that you gave everything you got. You get to the room, you continue to keep progressing.
Mark, give you a quick opportunity to push the Polar Plunge, which comes up a week from Saturday.
Yeah, I'm not looking forward to it.
But the positive thing is you're already in five figures, I see, in terms of money raised.
I tell you what, it's something I work hard at every year. You know, obviously, the sport of wrestling is very near and dear to my heart. I love it. I'm still obviously pretty passionate about it. It's provided me a lot of different things in my life and good opportunities. And one way of giving back to the sport and to Iowa Wrestling and to our Iowa Hawkeyes is to raise as much money as I possibly can for the Hawkeye Wrestling Club so that those guys can go on and win, you know, World and Olympic titles. And they can also stay in the room and wrestle with our collegiate guys and take them to that highest level, which we've been talking about this whole entire show. So the plunge is, on January 28th at high noon at Brown Deer Golf Course, and we're just going to go jump into a frozen pond unless it warms up so much we're not even ice to jump through, which would not hurt my feelings. And but, yeah, so if you can go and pledge. Last year, the Hawkeye Wrestling Club, out of this one event, was able to raise $102,000. $102,000. Mm. That's just remarkable. And so, yeah, I mean, if anybody's out there listening, you can please go to hwcplunge.com. That's hwcplunge.com and make a pledge for myself or any other Hawkeye wrestling person on there. You know, as far as I'm concerned, that's totally fine because the money goes to the same spot. That would be fantastic and very appreciative.
Mark, I lost a golf ball there last summer. Can you look for it for me, please?
Was it on 18?
Yeah.
I might. That's where we're going to be at, so I might be able to find it.
I tried to go for the green, cut the corner, and it didn't work out well. So I believe it's a Titleist 3.
You got a red dot or anything on it?
If he gets a Titleist 3, how much are you going to pledge to the plunge?
Oh, I always pledge more.
Okay.
There'll be more in it if you find a Titleist 3 with an S on it.
You're cheap, man.
Hey, before we go, you're going to help us out because you have four tickets. You're going to have one of our listeners get an opportunity to win for the Penn State meet, right?
Yep, I got four tickets, extra tickets to the Penn State meet that if you guys can do whatever you want with them and give them out to a listener, get some good blood in there and start cheering the Hawkeyes on because they're going to need all the help they can get Friday night.
Maybe we'll have them answer this question on the text line. Who would have best of five takedowns in your prime, you or Alger?
Oh, Jesus. Well, that's an easy one. That should be Alger. He's so freaking big and strong. There's no way. I'm telling you what. Royce Alger one time, when I was competing, comes up to me, cracks me on the back of the neck, like the head, and it was like an accordion going right down my spine into my lower back. I'm like, and then he wants to wrestle with you. I'm like, Royce, are you trying to help me or hurt me? And he's like, you can't. He can't, and then there is no in between with him either. He doesn't know how to just kind of like I can go and mess around with Bobby Telford or Ben Burhau and those big heavyweights and stuff. And they don't break me. Royce, he either breaks you or you just run the other way.
All right. On that note,
thanks for the tickets, Omar. Appreciate it.
Yeah, we'll give those away here coming up, and have a good time. And we will talk about Iowa, Penn State, and look ahead to Ohio State next week.
All right, sounds good, fellas. Thanks for having me.
You bet. Mark Ironside joining us each Wednesday courtesy of Kurt Gustafson Agency of American Family Insurance. So we've got not only the Brian Regan tickets to give away in a little bit, we're going to give away Iowa wrestling tickets right now. So
that's pretty cool.
It is pretty cool, and thank you to Mark for doing that. He's got four tickets. You're going to win them out there. Alex, let's go caller number five.
You get six for a pin. Come on.
Six? You want caller number six? All right, caller number six. We'll go caller number six out there.
Caller five is going to be upset.
You're going to pick them up here at the station because Mark's going to drop them off tomorrow morning. So, caller number six. And only call if you can use them, too. That's all we ask. Don't win the tickets and then say, oh, I can't go Friday night. Only if you can go Friday night, we will get you these tickets. 319-366-1600. And you have to come here to pick them up at the station. Keep that in mind as well here in Cedar Rapids. 319-366-1600. A four-pack of tickets, Iowa, Penn State. And we'll let you know who our winner is coming up.
Your life requires a lot of energy because you're always on the move. Well, nobody understands energy better than Linn County REC. That's why they offer you the Smart Hub app. This cool tool makes it super snappy to pay your bill, see your billing and energy use, get alerts, even report an outage. So no matter where you are, you can manage your account in a tap or two. Get the Smart Hub app in the Apple App Store or the Google Play Store. Download it, select Linn County REC as your electric provider, and log in with the same username and password you use at linncountyrec.com. Once it's on your phone, it keeps up with you. So, say you realize your bill needs to be paid ASAP. It's okay. Just tap Pay Now on the Linn County REC Smart Hub app, and you're good. Oh, and if the power goes out, you can report it right there on the app, too. See how easy that is? The Linn County REC Smart Hub app. Another one of the nifty little benefits of membership with Linn County Rural Electric Cooperative.
Look, America. Your Crusader warriors are weak.
When one of your own is taken.
If you do not get $10 million, I will cut his head off.
How far would you go to get them back?
We're going to bring Rip back home.
Going in now.
Where are you taking them?
You are Navy SEAL.
Yeah, I'm a Navy SEAL.
The new drama series, Six, premieres tonight at 10, 9 Central on History.
When you drive your vehicle for the first time, you want to make sure it stays as good as new for as long as possible. That's why you should make the switch to Bennzoil Synthetics with Pure Plus technology, a modern motor oil made from natural gas and designed to protect your engine against wear. Make the switch to Bennzoil Synthetics today and let the performance speak for itself. Save $2 per quart on any qualifying Bennzoil purchase. See Bennzoil.com/rebate for more information.
As any sports fan knows, nothing feels better than winning. And right now, when you come to Applebee's for lunch, you could win big with their all-in burger meal deal.
Come into Applebee's and try one of their all-in burgers with fries and a bottomless Pepsi for just $9.99.
You could win the chance to produce Mike and Mike for a day.
You could also score great instant win prizes, including a free all-in burger meal deal and pro sports tickets.
Hurry, because this deal won't last long.
Only at Applebee's.
Covering everything from the preps to the pros, with a little bit of old school mentality thrown in for good measure. Scott Unash and Mark Dukes on the Gym Class. KGYM.
Congratulations to Wes from Cedar Rapids. He's going to go see Iowa Penn State, courtesy of Mark Ironside, the Hall of Famer. And his appearance brought to you by Kurt Gustafson Agency of American Family Insurance, located on Johnson Avenue Northwest in Cedar Rapids. Mr. Mark Dukes, you, me, the rest of the Rusty Nails tonight. Bowling Night in America preview, and it's brought to you by May City Bowl. They are located at Trent Street Southwest in Cedar Rapids, your home of Bowling Night in America. We were 4-0 last week. Can we do it again? It's going to be a mite tougher tonight.
Mite tougher against the defending and league champions. Two-time defending league champion, Durline Scale, Jeff and Chad and Mike and the bunch. Always a tough out, but that's why we go.
We may witness that's a 300 go, huh? Tonight.
29-30, I think, are the lanes, and we'll be out there competing against a really tough team and a bunch of good guys. So looking forward to that. What are we, 42-34?
42-34.
Fourth place.
Solidly in fourth, eight games out,
that's
I believe.
Not bad.
No, we can make a run. We're still in there. There's plenty of time left.
Yeah.
As they say.
Bring your results tomorrow. If you have any questions about open bowling any parties, any equipment you might need out of Andy Dirks' pro shop, give him a call out there at 362-0136. Or visit the website, MayCityBowlCR.com.
There you go. And thank you very much to May City, the official sponsor of Bowling Night in America here on KGYM. It is 3:54, and got another giveaway here. Brian Regan, who's going to be at the Paramount coming up on Sunday, January the 29th. He is terrific. If you haven't checked him out on the Tonight Show, go to the internet, check him out. Very, very funny individual, and shows that comedy doesn't have to be dirty to be hilarious. That's kind of his hook out there. Going to be at the Paramount coming up on the 29th, and we got tickets all this week to give away. We're going to do that right now, and we're going to do it to caller number 5 at 319-366-1600. Brian Regan tickets going out to caller number 5, and we will let you know who our winner is. Plus, we will update you on our Emil's Hideaway poll question before we hand it off to the APC. All that coming up next on KGYM. May City Bowl is always a good time, Dukes.
Even when we're not bowling so great, Scott.
Well, May City Bowl does it right. A full-service pro shop for serious bowlers.
And fun for everyone, like Glow Bowling Friday and Saturday nights.
Our team, the Rusty Nails, is in the Mature League, but they have leagues for every age and skill.
And you can call ahead for open lane times.
So whether you're leaguers or just want to have fun, it's always a great time at May City Bowl, off Williams Boulevard, Southwest in Cedar Rapids, the official sponsor of Bowling Night in America on the gym.
Wait. You want to get in the truck and take our tax refund where?
To get LG appliances for half price or less.
Yeah, and you heard about this from a guy at work?
Uh-huh.
Where is it?
Under 380 at the end of the S-curve.
There's no way that's real.
Yes, it is. And our tax refund is going to go twice as far this year.
Scratch and Dent Appliance Warehouse. Brand new high-end appliances for half price or less. Under Interstate 380 at the end of the S-curve in Cedar Rapids.
ScratchandDentCR.com.
At KGYM Radio on Twitter, Dukes and Unash, the gym class on KGYM.
Hello. Welcome back. And hello, Larry. That was a show starring McLean Stevenson. You remember that, Mark Dukes?
I do.
One of the poorer decisions by a Hollywood star. McLean Stevenson decided to leave MASH and go out on his own to a show called Hello, Larry. Incidentally, was about a radio personality.
Trying to tell me something?
No, not at all. But Larry from Cedar Rapids, nothing to do with McLean Stevenson or the television show Hello, Larry. He is going to go see Brian Regan, who will be a lot funnier than I am.
Poll question today at KGYMRadio.com, brought to you by Emil's Hideaway. If you had to choose one quarterback this weekend to win a game for your team, who would it be? Be Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady, Ben Roethlisberger, or Matt Ryan.
Ooh.
Great collection of quarterbacks. Thanks to Emil's Hideaway, behind Taco John's, next to Home Depot, off First Avenue Southeast.
We're going to have all those games coming up on Sunday in all three of our frequencies, beginning at 1 o'clock, 107.5, 106.3, 1600 AM. Tonight, Iowa State women, tough task. They are down at Waco to take on number 2 Baylor. At 7 o'clock, 1600 a.m., we'll have the story of that one. And then on 107.5, 106.3 FM, it'll be UNI taking on the Loyola Ramblers tonight. And that will be beginning at 7 o'clock as well.
John Cranton on tomorrow to preview those NFL games. Very much looking forward to that.
And we will pick the games.
Indeed.
With the over and unders as well on the Carl Nerney's Pick 6 coming your way tomorrow right here on KGYM. More Hall of Fame talk coming up. Todd and Tyler, APC next. Have yourselves a great Wednesday night.
Little Caesars has 5 hot and ready items at only $5 each. Choose from a large hot and ready classic, 8-piece.